are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their careers. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and then you click the link, and that takes you right to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you have to visit the official Question Reality website. That's a totally different website. And that website address is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. So all of the guests are over there. Now, we have a fantastic guest. I'm so excited to bring him on today because I think that we as a people, we need motivators. We need motivation. We need inspiration. We need education. We need other things that I can't mention on the radio, but we need things. We need things. Well, some of the things that we need, the person on the show today is going to be able to give them to us. His name is Joel Landy, and he is the CEO and the founder of the Performance Group. And I want you to go to that website right now while I'm talking so you can get an idea of who he is, what he does. We're going to cover that, but just it'll be additional information that we may not get to. That website is theperformancegroup.us. not .com, .us, theperformancegroup.us. You can also find him on Facebook under The Performance Group and on Twitter under Coach Joel Landy. So go there right now. And we are going to be asking him, oh my gosh, something's happening on the background. Oh, I got feedback. Joel, is that you over there? Don't try to listen to yourself. We're doing the show remotely, and I got some feedback going on. It threw me off my game. It threw me off.
You're good.
So we're going to be asking Joel some questions, which are, what are the rewards one reaps when what are the rewards? These are my questions. This is what I come up with. And sometimes I'm typing, I repeat words. So you know that I do it. Just go with it. All right. What are the rewards that one reaps when one takes a risk and steps out of their comfort zone? We all need to know that, right? We also are going to ask, we're going to find out what some of his client, Lord have mercy, you think I've been drinking a bottle of whiskey all day. I haven't even touched a drop and I can't talk. We're going to be asking, what can some of your clients expect when they work with you through the performance group? We're going to find out how he became the face. And I found this fascinating because I have a wonderful friend, one of my best friends, Monica, is in Germany. And I found out from Stephen Levine, who is his PR rep, that he is the face. Mr. Joel Landy is the face of Germany's most popular television commercial character. And I believe the character is Signor or Signor Volmano. Now, I don't know this character, so we're going to find out about it together. And then we're going to also ask what messages does he hope to spread via the performance group, because we all want to spread messages, right, in the day-to-day life, and maybe also what messages he wants to spread through Signor Volmano. So let me just tell you a little. We never know. He might want to spread something. Now, Joel Landy is the owner and founder of the Performance Group. He has excelled at careers that combine both science and personal growth for over 25 years. And whether it was training aviators in the Navy, testing human performance in cardiac rehabilitation, racing sport bikes with data acquisition, or leading others in ministry through delicate interpersonal matters, these opportunities are what equipped him to develop trust quickly and go deep, like get down to the matter in a skillful way. But what was unique was seeing, Joel says, what was unique was seeing the speed at which personal transformation came when combining great information with measurement data. And the performance group was born out of this unique intersection of personal growth and personal measurement that uses quantifiable performance data to accelerate the learning experience. So they refer to this as the real magic in personal transformation, mixing in science or real numbers. And when they add this unique element, when helping others confront limiting beliefs, clarify values, or take proper risks, that's what becomes the game changer. Now, see, Joel, you wrote this and you're excited about hearing it again. I got all this from your website and you're like, wow, do I really do that? You've forgotten the magic you create. You're forgetting about all of the witchery and warlocks stuff that you do on a daily basis to transform people into completely new humans. So first I want to say welcome so much to the Question Reality Radio Show. Thank you for coming on.
My gosh, Priscilla, you've told my entire life story there in about 45 seconds, but thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Happy Easter, happy Passover.
Please come again. No, well, you, I understand that, what I like to do is start with a basic question, because people like to know where you came from and how you got to where you are now. So the question that I like to ask first is, when Joel Landy was an itty bitty little boy, maybe wearing a bow tie, maybe not, what did you want to be when you were small? You know, I wanted to be Wonder Woman. What did you see yourself being when you grew up?
You know, it's actually funny. I grew up a surfer on the East Coast and not very highly motivated except for being at the beach. Wound up going to college. And actually, one of my quad mates by chance was a guy that really knew what he wanted to do and quickly got very motivated in college, went on to graduate school, became an exercise physiologist. And for me, that was the first taste in me coming to the realization that when you're passionate about something, anything is possible. Left, you know, the college experience, went into the military as a naval officer, and went into this environment, you know, flying sophisticated jets, beginning to train aviators and air crew members in a very high-risk environment. The thing that I quickly learned there, because we were training people to do very dangerous things, and the thing that I learned there was, when you train people to do things that are risky, and you combine not just great information, but this adventurous dynamic where you're measuring what they're doing and you're actually showing them the numbers that they're producing, the light bulb comes on, and all of a sudden, this somewhat didactic or mundane, you know, thing that they were doing, it came alive. And so as I look back in my rearview mirror, I quickly came to the realization, like, this is exactly what I want to do in motivating people to go to next levels in their personal development, in their relationships. But that was the uniqueness of what was born at the Performance Group. It was my background. I loved leading people in the military. It was exciting. I loved inspiring people through traditional means. But then there was this other thing that we were doing by creating these exciting opportunities where we were measuring things. And so it created this unique, what I call an intersection of these two types of different fields of thought. And it's at that intersection that the Performance Group came to being. And so that's why I just love talking about the company. I love watching people change. And, you know, I had my own epiphany while I was in the military, interestingly enough, 2 years later, that set my life on a completely different course that we can talk about anytime you'd like to hear. But that also was another moment for me that I realized, you know, there's a lot of lies being told. And one of them is this, you know, change is too hard and it takes too long. I think those are both not true. And once I saw the kind of change that happened in my life, even as a naval officer, even as I transitioned from going to leading a high-risk training unit in the Navy to leading a small congregation and then a large congregation as a minister, it was clear to me that, no, change, not only is it possible, but it's necessary for us to feel alive.
Absolutely. Now, you, Joel, part of the Performance Group's mission statement says that you use your signature system for personal development, and I believe you call it the Spartan paradigm. Love that.
Right.
Love anything gladiator-like. And that you offer, I know, anybody that looks like a gladiator, that's even better for me. But you call this Spartan paradigm, and you say that you offer a matrix of tools to conquer a person's biggest mission obstacles, and you distill it into seven key elements. And what I want you to do is, can you tell us about this program and how it can help a person in their personal life and also in their career to have a successful career? How I liked how you did S-P-A-R-T-A-N. So I would love for you, for example, you say S, significant, brings about our greatest, blah, blah. Could you go through that with us?
Sure.
I love that program. Did you come up with this? Are you the genius who came up with this? Because I just fell in love with it. I thought it was genius.
Categorically, I'm not a genius, but yes, I did come up with this. We are all familiar with Stephen Covey's, you know, concept of starting with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And with that, one of the books that I read, in fact, I read a series of books from Bob Buford, but the title of this one book that I read when I was probably 42 was called Success to Significance. And the premise of this book was, up to 40 years old, people need to know that they're successful. After 40, they need to understand what their significance is. And so as I began to harmonize and formalize all these attributes and teaching tools of what I saw were helping people break through to these new places, I began this paradigm, which started with the concept of meeting with clients. And, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about your history. We have a cadre of different types of tools to measure different types of things. But what I'm really interested in with a new client, even people that I just meet at a coffee house or on a plane, is what is your high watermark? What is your definition of significance? And that's a very personal thing to different people. And, you know, I have a long definition and a short definition. I mean, I think for me, the short one is anyone that gets paid well to do what they love to do, chances are they're probably experiencing significance.
Mm-hmm.
But in a more amplified definition of significance, I think significance is when we're living out our best self, where we are prosperous. And our prosperity leads to generosity, so that whatever we're doing well, other people are being influenced in a very tangible way by it, and it's sustainable. And so the concept of significance has a lot to do with what people value, and we'll probably throw that word around quite a bit as we go back and forth in the interview. But I believe that a lot of times why people get stuck, whether it's a CEO, professional athlete, somebody, an entertainer, anyone in business, a house mother, a college student, People often get stuck because their values are not clear. It's not that they don't know how to manage their time. It's not that they're sloppy. It's not that they're unmotivated. As soon as you lose track on your values and prioritizing your values, it sets your energy in the direction of your life off in a way that really dilutes, you know, what you can be doing with your life. So significance is the front end of the paradigm. I love talking about it. It's peeling a deep onion. We go very deep, my clients and I. It's exciting. Most intriguing components of this is oftentimes when people come to me stating that they're convinced about X, it normally ends up being Y, because the concept of being in that deep confidential partnership and giving people an opportunity to really peel the onion, to really courageously reveal themselves about what they really value about themselves and in life, it really is a journey that I love taking with people. And so that's the kickoff. The kickoff to the journey is starting in that place of significance. And then going from there, we begin to articulate passions. We talk about authenticity. We talk about what it means to be relevant. We talk about developing trust. We develop or talk about the concept of assessment, which is, you alluded to it when you introduced me, which is most everything that we do, when I craft an experience for a person to have a breakthrough, at some point we are going to do something that has an activity that is measurable. And going back to what I said previously with the pilots, it's one thing to sit people in a classroom or on a couch or take them out to the beach and explain things and teach and talk, but then there's this added element of a teaching effect, which I'll talk later about, called neuroplasticity.
What can some of your clients expect when they work with you through the performance group? Do they, for example, take me through it? They call, they say, hi, I'd like to schedule an appointment. They come in. Then what does a person do? Do you set up an appointment with you, someone else? Can you take the classes right then, or do you schedule a free consultation? Tell me what happens. What can I expect if I want to choose you?
Most of my clients are introduced to me personally, although now through the website people come through, and I love talking to people. I love talking to people. I just enjoy people. I love hearing their life stories.
Me too.
I really love to know what energizes them and at times what they believe is holding them back. I think what people can expect from me is on the front end, they're going to have a very confidential discussion about them, about a little bit about their past. More importantly, though, I want to know about their peak experiences in life. I want to know what has motivated them. I want to know in the context that they've seen themselves come alive the most. And then we're going to enter into a discussion on what this journey is going to look like with me being a confidential partner and a facilitator. And we're going to talk about what it's going to mean to craft an experience that sets them up to have an accelerated breakthrough. And so I work either immersively with people for 3 to 5 days, which is a very intense immersive experience, or I work with people for 90 days.
Right. So does it cap off at 90 days? And then you're not like a psychiatrist where you say, oh, you got to come to me for 20 years. It's like 90 days, and then you reevaluate whether you need to come back 90 days, or should all of the goals be achieved in 90 days, do you think?
That's a great question. I was actually having this conversation at the dinner party that I'm at right now. I really believe this. I believe so much change is possible and often happens on the front end of the relationship that it is my job to obviously set people free, to empower people. I mean, I've had people that want to stay on and create longer-term relationships to explore different things for themselves. But it is my stated goal and position. My goal is to be there on the front end and to clarify things and confront thoughts and conquer ideas that they need to conquer. And more times than not, it happens in a very condensed period of time. So to answer your question, I'm open to the long term, but that's not what I preach. And it's not really, that's not the high water mark for me. A lot happens in a short amount of time. And I think that's where my clients get the most value.
Well, you know, I have several friends who are life coaches, and one of them in particular, she lives in Sweden. Now, I don't know if this is because it's in Sweden, but she said that she has had many situations where clients become codependent on the life coach, and it turns into almost right. like a psychology session. She takes the role of being a psychologist in their life. How do you determine, I mean, do you have any kind of criteria set beforehand where you can tell that a person is going to end up thinking of you more as a psychologist, and you say, you know what, this person's not for me, and you kind of refer them to a therapist? If it's more they want to fix personal issues rather than career issues, I mean, what are your criteria for accepting a person as a client and then maybe saying, you know, I'm not the right person for you? Because I can't imagine you taking on every single person, because people might be coming to you for help psychologically, but they think they need a life coach. She said she runs into this all the time, and there's right. What's called transference.
Correct. Yeah, as a benefit to my clients, we have a motivational assessment that's done by actually licensed psychologists. And the intention of the assessment is not at all to, you know, discover any type of abnormalities mm-hmm. and diseases, mm-hmm. but the way it's structured, it really it provides a great snapshot for how people are wired. And some of the deeper needs that people could be experiencing from this test. But here's what I rely on more than even that, although that's a great tool. What I rely on is, after we assess a person's desire to experience this personal development, to have this breakthrough, to go through this stage of growth, and we craft an experience. After the experience has been crafted and we discuss the lessons learned, we articulate the breakthrough, we understand the patterns, what I then do is I map out an action plan for them to implement what they have found in essentially three areas: in their personal life, in their business life, and then in their relationships in general. Once we craft the map and we discuss the map, that is essentially then the green light for them to take what they've been taught and to go live it out. And so that's really, for me, the fail-safe portion of my relationship with the client, where I think the client, at that point in time, the client is very clear that this is the breakthrough for them. This is about them now going to the next chapter in life. And again, I mean, if there are opportunities, it wouldn't be uncommon for someone to have a breakthrough one-on-one, then they might want to do something like one of our, you know, retreats that we go on in the summer, which is more of a group thing. That's completely encouraged, and that's fine. But I hope that answers your question. At that point in time, once we map a strategy, they're off to the races, and they're ready to go for it.
Yeah, it's a very fine line, because a lot of people think that they're stuck getting somewhere in their career and their life, but it turns out to be more of a psychological issue that really does need addressing by a psychologist or a therapist. So it's a very fine line for life coaches, I have found by talking to my various friends, and they wear a tight wire, because you can be sued for giving psychological advice. Yet it seems so intrinsic that you would do that, because part of what you're doing that keeps you stuck in your career, again, amateur life coach here, is something that's holding you back psychologically. So something's happening that's causing you to not be able to get from plan A to plan B to plan C. So it really right. teeters on the borderline of a psychosis, not a bad psychosis, right. but something psychological. Right. So you have a very Correct. Tough and tricky career. I would be scared. I'd be on drugs. I'd be having to pop a pill before I saw a client. Okay, so what have you found are some of the more common examples of things that clients want to change or find or renew in their lives? I think I see a pattern of the same things over and over, but what do you see as far as, let's talk, do they come in? Oh, this is a good question. God, I have so many good questions. Okay. So because getting stuck in your personal life leads to possibly getting stuck in your career life, are you able to instantly ascertain, is it something they need to change in their personal life and then it's going to flow like molasses in their career, or vice versa? Are you able to assess that immediately and help them with that?
To double back, let me answer two questions with two separate answers, because I think it'll make sense. And I'll try to be as brief as I can. To go back to what you had said about the fine line and the scariness of my profession, I think, and although I've got a tremendous respect for psychology, I think just the process of helping a person clarify what they value and confront their limiting beliefs at times is so amazingly empowering that I'm not going to make an observation on the type of a psychological challenge they have. That's not my job, and that's even in our contract. As a life coach, who deals with the future.
Right.
Psychologists deal with the past. And we, of course, we deal with the present. And if I want to know their life story, I'm going to ask them, obviously, about things that they believe have really informed and shaped their character and their personality and their current living state. But just the process of clarifying values and confronting limited beliefs is profoundly powerful in freeing people up to take risks. At the end of the day, that's what I do. And in fact, I just read recently an article called The Top 10 Risks Happy People Take. Happy people are constantly risking getting hurt. They realize that that's the world they live in, and they're willing to do it. Secondly, they love being in a real relationship with others, and they risk, you know, revealing themselves. And so, and there's a list of these eight others, and I can, in fact, it will be posted tomorrow on my TPG website. And I encourage people to read this article, because I just think, at the end of the day, I think that's what a great motivator, instructor, coach does. It helps people take risks. Now, you need people to help you calculate the risk. Risk should always be evaluated, not on fear or success, but it should always be evaluated on the value. What does this risk bring me in terms of a value statement? So I hope that question answered that. Now, to go back to the other question you asked me, which is what are some of the common things?
Yeah, common. Oh, you have a good memory. I forgot what the hell I asked you. Your mind's like a steel trap. Yes, what are some of the more common examples of things that people want to change?
I hate to be overly simplistic here, but it is relationships. I mean, I can get people, do you want to go to Machu Picchu? Do you want to go to climb Kilimanjaro? Do you want to swim with the sharks? I can get people to do things that they normally really believe that they couldn't do. The most fundamental we need is to belong. It's to be in real relationships. And I think at the end of the day, and this is what I have seen clearly, is normally the breakdown, where people begin to break down, quote-unquote, in their career, is they've broken down in their relationships. That's where they're breaking down. It's not that they're just breaking down their mind. So I believe most everything that I do is tied to a relational component. It's, you know, how they're relating to their spouses, their kids, their bosses, the people that they're leading. And that has a function that's tied into the concept of how true are they being to themselves, which that's another show that you and I can, that's a whole hour that I can spend with you on.
I can tell I'm going to have you on once a year for the rest of our lives. You got a lot to talk about.
It takes a profound sense of courage to really be true with yourself. It's brutal. And I think, you know, and having somebody in your life do that is worth every penny. And so at the end of the day, what am I helping people with? Yeah, I'm helping people, you know, assess properly the concept of belonging. Let's talk about your relationships. Then let's talk about, you know, concept of, are you growing? And then I was just discussing this with some friends here at the dinner party, of the duality of certainty and uncertainty. Do you know that we need equal parts? And Maslow, people want to discover this, and the Chloe Madonnas and Tony Robbins kind of took up the ball and ran with it. But they developed, you know, these six essential needs. But it's always intrigued me, and when I'm reminded that people need an equal measure of certainty and uncertainty. To the degree that we need structure, we also need this romantic, unbridled piece of us that we need to go explore and discover. And so I love helping people get in touch with that.
Well, let me ask you, what advice, just terse and concise, but what advice would you give someone, say they came out here from another, they came here from another country, and I mean LA, to pursue a career in the entertainment industry, and they had an idea of what they wanted to do. Say they came out here to be an actor or director or, well, let's just pick one. Okay, they came out here to be a director, and they went to school, and then they said, oh my God, you know what? I don't feel like, I don't want to deal with the camera. I don't really like this. So they prepped and prepared for this for a long time. They came out here. They thought they wanted to do one thing. And as the years go on, they found that they had interest in other things. But their family's like, well, whatever happened to that career? I mean, you went out there to become a director. What are you doing now? Well, you know how families on the East Coast, because I'm from Connecticut, and, you know, families will harass you and say, what the hell did you come out there for? You're not doing what you said you wanted to come out. What advice would you give a person who feels ashamed because they came out here to do one thing, but now they've lost interest in it, and they want to do something else, but they're confused now as to what their original motivation to come out here was? What would you say?
Well, the key word there is confusion. And I go back to what I believe is one of the bedrock approaches that I take, which is clarifying people's values. I don't make a judgment. Obviously, shame and guilt is something that's crippling to all of us.
And families do it, don't they, Joel? It's the mothers, yes, and fathers. They just really make you feel so bad that you didn't pursue that goal, and they make you feel like you're fickle. So I hear it from so many guests that come on my radio show. They're like, my family makes me feel bad because I decided to come out here. And I have so many friends that tell me they suffer from this. And I thought, well, what do you do? I don't know what advice to give them. I don't know.
Well, I think an oversimplified, you know, I mean, there came a point in my life when, I mean, I love, my mother's deceased, but I love my father and respect him deeply. But there came a time, obviously, as a young adult, where I made the decision that I need to respect him, but I have my own worldview and my own goals, and my own dreams and thoughts. And I mean, anybody that's caught in the trap of pleasing other people, you know, when you want to do something for somebody, you do it because, ideally, there is no attachment to the gift. If I give you something after the show, I give it to you not because I hope you invite me back. I give it because it does something for me in the act of gift giving. So the long and the short of what you just shared with me, and the very succinct point is you cannot be living in relationships where you're living based on what other people think about your decisions, because that is an absolute recipe for neuroses.
Exactly. And people change as we grow. You change. I mean, I don't want to get into astrological awareness or astronomy, but every 27 years you go through a change, and your wants and needs and desires change. So what does your family expect? They expect you to have the same wants, needs, and desires as you did 27 years ago? Absolutely not. So I always tell my friends, you are going to change. It's okay that you came out here to be a doctor and now you end up being running off joining the circus. It's okay, because that, always go by your hobbies. Find out what your hobbies are. And if you love doing it and you don't mind getting not paid, then you're going to love getting paid for it as a career. Am I right?
Right. Well, I go back to, yeah, I go back to the value. I mean, you know, hobbies are exciting, but they're also temporary too at times. You know, I just go back to value. It's not, and that conversation has little with the parents thinking, has everything to do with the person, you know, in that context, the child. What are your convictions? What do you value? And if you don't have a strong enough sense of self, you know, if you believe anything, you'll fall for anything. I mean, so that would be one approach for me to work with a person like that, would be for them to develop their own voice and really to develop what are your convictions for, what do you, you know, what is important to you? What do you value? Again, it goes back to value. I mean, I'm not a one-trick pony, but there's a lot of power in the word value.
Yeah.
A lot of power.
And I always tell people, it's okay to change. And if you're unhappy doing what you're doing, it's okay to make a change. Okay. I want to, because time is just slipping into the future, not to quote that 70 song, but we got some email questions that I want to get to real quick. This comes from Lisa from, these are career questions, and these are questions that we received from emails when we announced that Joel Andy was going to be on the show. So we have Lisa from Richmond, Virginia, and she says, Mr. Joel, how can I achieve my goal without sacrificing my values? I don't know what that means, Lisa.
I do know what it means.
Okay.
I do know what it means. You know, I think, you know, one of my definitions, passion is a fire that burns inside of us, and it keeps us moving, you know, through the valleys in our lives. And I believe that passion, when it's separated from ego, it is really it's ready to make its mark on the world. And I just love that thought of, you know, this fire that's selfless that gives to other people. And her name was Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa from Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. Lisa, if you're listening, I don't think you have to compromise your values to reach your goals. For me, and us having this discussion today, I look at life as a farmer in seasons. And there are times when you've got to put seed in the ground, and then there's times when you've got to water, and you search for, you know, the right partners in life to help, you know, bring that crop to fruition. And when the crop is ready to be harvested, you take it out of the ground. And I think more times than not, we get really impatient. We actually, sometimes the opportunity is right in front of us, but the timing's not right, or the condition's not right. And Lisa, like me, I'm constantly tempted to take shortcuts. But I think in the strictest sense of your question, you don't have to compromise your values to achieve the goal. You just have to rethink the strategy of getting to the goal. You might not have to change the goal, but you might absolutely have to change the strategy.
So there you go, Lisa. Now, the next question comes from Charlotte from Westchester, New York. And I chose this one because I thought, it sounds very interesting. I'd like to hear what Joel had to say on that. She says, hey, Joel, independent of my work environment, what questions should I be asking myself to make my world a healthier or happier place? It's a very bizarre question,
wow.
Charlotte. That's very deep.
Yeah, that is very deep. Well, I think you can ask yourself, what do you believe is your greatest contribution in life? Looking in your rearview mirror, I would ask you, what have been the times in your life that you have felt most alive, and are you right now living in that place? Have you thought about your legacy? I mean, you know, it depends on what direction she would want to evaluate that. But I go back to, you know, once a person clarifies their values, and obviously your listeners are just hearing that as a statement. They're probably thinking, oh, my gosh, you said that 100 times. It doesn't mean anything to me. Well, it doesn't mean a lot in the context of a radio show. But when someone's sitting down with you and there is, you know, a cadre of tools and questions that begin to really open up what you think and feel and believe about yourself and your worldview and your history and your future, the concept of values becomes very rich because it does really guide going forward. But yeah, I would ask the listener, what have you done that you have felt most alive? Is that aligned with your value system? And what are you doing looking forward? What are you doing that you believe is going to bring the greatest contribution of your gifts to your community? Are you living it out?
Are you doing it? Are you doing it to it is what you need to ask yourself. Okay, this question comes from Alistair. I like this question. This comes from Alistair from Medford, Massachusetts. I love that name, Alistair. It's very sexy, very British sexy. Okay, he says, hey, Joel, how does one, it sounds like my word. Now you're talking like me. I use one. How does one find the most compatible life coach for their needs? I have been to 4 and I found that I wasn't really interested and I just glossed over at their dull, boring methods.
Well, Alistair, yeah, there's got to be chemistry. I mean, I think obviously, you know, the starting point is tell me a little bit about, and this is now a client asking a coach like me, you know, Joel, tell me a little bit about your history. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your methodology. You know, tell me a little bit about the, you know, the context that you create for breakthroughs. I think there's that discussion. And then there's just the discussion of how you're wired, Alistair. I mean, I love being around athletes. I'm an athlete. I'm ex-military. I love being around ex-military people. I mean, I gravitate toward those two demographics of people. Does that mean that I don't enjoy others? No, not at all. But I think I'm more inclined to just maybe unearth myself and reveal myself and be let the guard down quicker with people like that versus others that are not like that. So I think, you know, you got to, if you're serious about finding it, you just got to keep trying, and the chemistry will be there. And maybe it might even be something as simplistic as if you like something like, you know, playing tennis or golf on the weekends, it might come down to something that, you know, your coach might do the same thing. And I'm not implying that that's something that you would do with them, but it might be something that there is some type of a chemistry or energy because of maybe a commonality.
Absolutely. Now, I love this question. This question comes from Robert. This is straight and to the point. Robert from Sterling, Virginia. And he says, hey, Joel, at what point should I consider hiring a life coach or an executive coach? Are they both the same? Should I just go to a life coach if I have a personal problem and an executive coach if I have a career problem? Or do you do both?
You know,
I'd like to know, Joel, at what point in one's life should you consider hiring? Because a lot of people, and I hear this all the time, a friend of mine just went through a traumatic breakup with her boyfriend, and she said, well, I should probably go to a therapist because there were a lot of issues that I felt that I was left with that's interfering with my career. And so that's tough. So I said, well, I don't know. So how do you know whether to go to a life coach or to a therapist? Again, with the question with the therapist.
Right. Well, I just turned 50 the other day. And, you know, looking in my rearview mirror, I have never gone to the doctor for no reason. So obviously anybody that's looking for a coach, you know, there's a voice inside of all of us. I think at the foundation of it is there's two ways of looking at it. There's a group of people that just want to be more and do more, and that's exciting. And then there's another group of people that feel stuck, and it could be from shame, it could be from guilt, it could be from heartache, rejection. Whether you know you fit into one of those two categories, I think in the strictest sense, you know, a life coach is probably more. Probably, and I'm saying probably because this is not science at this point, more inclined to helping people that get are stuck emotionally and wanted to kind of work through things, although I believe I do that well, and I'm more of an executive business coach. But then obviously the executive coaches are for people that really want to go to a different level. I mean, business leaders, you know, they have the daunting task. They're constantly innovating. They're creating a culture of winning, and they're dealing with things on top of that when they blow up. And so, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, when there are people at the top, they get stuck and they need a confidential partner to talk things through. So, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, making the distinction between where one person should go, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying you should go one place or the other. But I'll go back to Alistair's question. You got to go where there's great chemistry and you believe the person across the table will give you the best confidential, deepest, most honest help that they possibly can.
Absolutely.
You're
going
to go to a different place.
You got to feel the chemistry, too. It's just like picking out a therapist. You can't just go to someone because they referred you. You got to have the chemistry. And then we've got one more question, and then we want to get back to talking to Joel more about his company and what he does. And then I want to talk about the senior for a minute. Now, this last question comes from Brandon from Long Beach, and he says, what is keeping me from living my best life? I feel like I've never gotten started and I'm almost 40.
Well, Brandon, that's the question that a lot of people ask. I would have no way, because I don't know you, I would have no way of answering that question. But I do know that confusion is the biggest enemy to people realizing their you know, their potential. And I think it is such a gift to have somebody in your life, whether it be a coach, a mentor, a leader, a spiritual leader, anyone that's qualified to really sit down and not try to fix you and label you, but to try to get you to really, unravel. Usually there's such a complexity of competing thoughts that are going on in your mind when you're at the point that you're finally at, that you'd be amazed that even in an afternoon with somebody that you really trusted that was skilled, how much clarity that you would receive. And when you get clarity, you get confidence.
Right.
And when your confidence comes back, that's when your paradigm, your eyes open, and you begin to feel for the first time the kind of traction and the kind of confidence that you were intended to have. And that's when things really change. And so my advice to you is to find that partner, spend the time, and invest in yourself. I know people ask me, well, what do you charge? My answer is always, what are you willing to invest in yourself? What are you worth? And so you're worth it, Brandon. Go for it.
Absolutely. Well, you seem to be a person who's always dealing with risky endeavors and everything on a risky type nature. So my question to you, and this is my personal question, do you agree that a little fear can act as practical caution? Because people are always saying, no risk, no reward, no risk, no gain. But I mean, I consider myself low risk. I do not like to take crazy risks. That's just me. I mean, I can't do it. It's just not in my nature. And I always say, well, you can be risky if you feel like it, go for it. But for me, I feel that a little bit of fear is kind of, practical caution. You don't go crazy and get yourself in trouble. What do you feel about that?
One of my favorite quotes is from Mark Twain. He said, 20 years from now, it will be the things you did not do that you will regret the most rather than the things you did. My greatest fear is regret. My greatest fear as I get older is I don't want to be the father or husband or friend or leader that sits down with other friends and looks them in the eye and says, boy, I really wish I would have done X, Y, or Z. And so going back to the risk, fear, I mean, if you are in a relationship that is worth anything, fear is constantly somewhere in the mix because love is risky. Most of what people do in life is risky. And so I respond to the question by I couldn't live with myself with the thought of regretting the opportunities that were before that I didn't take. And, I'll quickly share the story. I started racing motorcycles 2 years ago on a racetrack, asphalt, and with people that were predominantly 20 years younger than me. That's a whole other story. But people around me, were like, except my wife and kids, but people around me were like, have you lost your mind? And I assured my wife, I said, honey, if you buy off on this, just like I learned how to fly an airplane, I'll learn how to race. I'll do it by the books.
You're
well thought through.
You'll plan the risk out. You'll plan the high risk out. I like it. Well, Joel, I want to get this question in real quick because we got 2 minutes. What message do you hope to spread? Because I didn't know, but apparently you're this big, huge star in Germany with this commercial character. Can you in 2 minutes tell me who Signor Valmano is and what messages do you hope to spread via the performance group, your day-to-day life, and through Signor Valmano? So I don't know if you can do it in two, but I think you can.
Well, for those of you listening, thinking, I don't know when my time is coming, I was standing on a racetrack, and very quickly I was invited into this agency as a commercial actor, which I'd never done as a model. The doors opened up. It's a crazy story. It's and we don't have time to go into it. But recently I was in Berlin, Germany, and Valmano is an online jewelry company that created this character. The character is dashing. He's mysterious. And he's a style icon. And his mission was to, in his commercial, was to rescue people from making bad jewelry decisions. And so it was this quirky, funny, soulful, mysterious thing that they cast me in. We had about 500,000 combined hits on YouTube. It was for, I believe, 1 or 2 weeks. It was the number one commercial in Germany. And I wound up falling in love with the German culture and the people and all the history there. So that was just something that the doors opened and I stepped into. But it's part of my mantra, which is, don't wait, take chance. I mean, if there's any message about that experience in Berlin, if there's any message about what, you know, being that character, it's, you know, Balmano's message was this: be unpredictable, be benevolent, and be classy about it.
Yeah.
But don't wait to take a chance. And that's what a good coach will do. Will help you overcome the obstacle, the limiting beliefs, and the fears that need to be conquered to take the chance. Take the chance.
Take the chance.
Message.
I love it. You know what, Joel? We have come to the end of our beautiful relationship, but Casablanca. I have the feeling that this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship. May I ask you to come back on the show to give more messages of inspiration and encouragement and bring out the fear and become fearless. Is it not bring out the fear? Get rid of the fear. Become fearless. Would you like to come back on the show and talk next year, maybe?
I'd be honored, and I leave you with this African proverb.
Oh.
I leave you with this one thought. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Woo! I love it. Thank you, Mr. Joel Landy. Everybody, if you want to get some encouragement, inspiration, and motivation from the master, go to Joel Landy. His website is theperformancegroup.us. And please, please give him a call and email and ask him questions that you asked here today. He's a wonderful man, as you can tell, and I think that he will help you in your career to be successful. Thank you, Joel Landy. Say goodbye to your fans.
Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you, Mr. Joel Landy, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.